The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. And indeed, I am live today. It's Sunday, and, you know, I'm here for you as I am every Sunday. You know, we have something very special that we want to remind you of and announce, because next Sunday, instead of Dr. Tom Rozelle Live being live at 11 a.m., we're going back to our normal spot at 12 p.m., and football's over for the most part. But more importantly, the Washington football team will go to a different time slot and on their sister channel on 6:30 a.m. So we're looking forward to going back to that position. And many of you who normally have to listen to us on a podcast because you're in church or you have other things going on in the morning and so forth, we're back where we should be, and we're excited to let you know about that. So we will be broadcasting and bringing you the best information in integrative and natural therapeutics at 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Have a interesting program for you today, and we're going to talk a little bit about immune function, but we're going to talk about several other little tidbits that are out there. I've had a lot of patients reach out and ask me some questions on this Omicron virus that's there, and it's extremely, extremely contagious. It's one that it's almost like if you walk by somebody and give them a hug, regardless of how prepared you are, that you're probably going to get the sniffles for a day. And that's the one thing that I want to let you know about, is that this Omicron viral pattern relative to its impact in symptomological representation is not that serious for most people. Obviously, there's going to be people who are immunologically compromised. And even if you had the common cold, you run a risk of having a bigger problem than somebody else. But for the most part, this runs its course in a few days. And, you know, there's people they're not being hospitalized. People are freaking out, and they go into the emergency rooms because, oh my God, I'm sick, I've got this. And it starts out often with the sore throat. You get a little bit of fever, body ache. Sounds like a common cold and the flu, right? Well, very, very commonly the representation is parallel. So what I want you to understand is that there's so many different symptom processes that you have to be aware of, but not be set aside by, we use the word freak out with this. So we want to keep immunological strength where it needs to be, but we want to be able to understand and differentiate the patterns. This ugly Omicron will start out with, it can be a very, very raw, sore throat, almost like you're swallowing glass. And the fever can kick up a little bit. You can get up to be 101, 100, you know, 99.8, whatever. The good news is it doesn't last that long. And there's a lot of immunological support that can take place. Now, you know, depends on where you're at and how you're listening to this program. Depends on your community, your part of the country. There are many different things that are available to you to be able to fight this. And particularly if you're in Florida, what a wonderful situation that would be, because you have monoclonal antibodies and you have doctors who are willing to write other prescriptions that really work in the antivirals. They make a huge difference. But we've talked about immune support generally across the board, and we're just going to touch upon it just a little bit and, you know, let you know the things that are possible for you. And then we're going to get into some other subjects today that I think that are going to be extremely far more interesting than this redundancy, if you will, this craziness of continuing to talk about, oh my God, it's COVID, oh my God, it's this. You know, one thing that I want to tell you, think about this right now. This Omicron viral pattern is like hitting everybody. I'll use the cliche that you can walk by somebody and get it. Well, the whole reason is there's a metamorphosis that takes place, if you will, of any virus as it gets to its end stage, meaning as the we begin to build greater immune defense systems. Viral patterns do not continue exponentially forever and ever and ever, and actually they can be more susceptible to tissue. The body tries to develop immune systems, but here's what happens really is that the virus doesn't want to die. It wants to continue to move forward, but it can't do it if its host, you, is dead, right? So it becomes the common cold, it becomes the normal seasonal flu, it becomes that sort of thing, where it's there, it's an irritant, it's a pain in the butt, and if you have a comorbidity, then you have other things that are going to be impacted because of that. But at this stage of the game, protecting and supporting your immune system and realizing that you will get through this, it's strengthening both emotionally and physiologically. So what I want you to understand is that, you know, if you're taking your vitamin D at high levels, if you're taking zinc, particularly zinc sulfate, if you're putting a little bit of an anti-inflammatory, which is called quercetin, in your body, those things, and some vitamin C and so forth, and NAC and the like, those things bring up your general immune process to be able to fight this and in other situations. So, for those of you who are patients, that's available in the practice, and all of you should be on it anyway, because it's just a good basis of support that we all should have. But we're going to talk about, you know, the things that allow you to be more susceptible. And we want to make sure that you have the tools, the ability to be able to fight anything that comes down the pipe. If you have a question on this or anything else, give me a call at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. And we'll talk about those things as well. And, you know, any subject is open to discussion. As always, we do this program to give you the tools, the capacity, the ability to be able to handle virtually anything that comes down the pike. So give me a call and we'll figure it out together, and we can ask the questions as we move forward. I had a patient the other day that called in and asked me something that, you know, I just kind of sat there and I looked and I said, really? And the question was this: if you get sick with something, any virus, whether it's a cold or whether it's a flu, can you get it again? Well, think about this. If you've had a cold over the years, if you've had the flu over the years, answer your own question. Can you get it again? The short answer is yes, you probably can. It's like we've talked about a young teacher going into the first year or two of teaching. All of a sudden they come down with everything because you have these little petri dishes called kids, right? But as time goes on, you begin to develop immune responses that are so strong that even if you are exposed to something, the impact is not as virulent, if you will. So the short answer is, of course, you can get a cold how many times. And when you get a stuffy nose, when you get a sore throat, when you get a little bit of a fever, and it doesn't persists, it's for a short period of time, that's a sign that your immune system is working very well and very strong. You know, if you have a little bit of lower GI disturbance and, you know, you're spending more time on evacuating than you would otherwise, your body's trying to get rid of something. If you, you know, you have an upset stomach and you get nauseous and you have to get rid of things, that's your immune system working. When we suppress the body's immunological responses and we put them down so they don't bother us, we're actually suppressing our body's ability to be able to defend us from other things that are out there, which is not what we want. We want to make sure that we're very supportive of these things. Now, we don't want them to run rampant, right? We don't want a fever to last for days and days. We don't want a fever to get way too high where it can cause neurological problems. You know, years ago when I was in school, they said that, you know, 105 fever in a child was problematic. Well, it is only if it persists over an extended period of time, meaning you don't want it to last more than 10, 12 hours. You want to modulate it, ice packs on the neck, ice packs on the head. You know, if you get to a place where it's too much, of course you want to bring it down. And that would be the time that you would use something like an aspirin or whatever, just to drop it just a little bit. But you don't want to suppress it to the place where it's gone, because that fever is going to help burn off all the things that are there. Again, it's the persistency of these things. It's the intestinal irritation that continues. It doesn't go away. And so you support them with good probiotics. You support them with good potential antivirals. Back in the old days, just, you know, good old vitamin C. It produces something called interferon in the cells of your body. Interferon is your body's natural immune support protector that upregulates your resistance, if you will, to viral conditions, and it potentiates healing processes and the like. So, you know, somebody called in the other day and said, what's this thing about NAC you keep talking about? You said that it helps in viral infections. Well, what NAC actually is, it's the precursor. It's the step before the production of something called glutathione. Glutathione helps detoxify the system. It helps clear the liver. It's one of the most important and impactful detoxification mechanisms that your body has going for it. So we want to make sure that we get that system working as strongly as we possibly can to decrease inflammatory reactions, to make sure that we have the ability to defend ourselves. As we get into the second part of the program, we're going to talk about some things that you can do coming into the spring to prepare for all the things that you like to do. You know, want to get out and play a little tennis? You want to go for a hike? You want to go camping? You want to make sure that you're ready to be able to play golf when the weather breaks a little bit? So what's a person to do? You have to make sure that you prep for those things. You don't want to have the weekend warrior syndrome where you get out there and just do it and you haven't done it in months before that, and now guess what happens? You get hurt, and not only that you can't move, but that structural irritation, that pain pattern, that inflammation now decreases your immune system. Now you have springtime allergies and you have summer colds, or, you know, we've always heard the term the summer flu. Trust me, you want to do everything you possibly can to upregulate your system. We're coming up to a break pretty quickly. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live, and this is your opportunity. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. And let's talk about your stuff and any question that you may have about anything that's going on in our environment today, or anything that is very specific to you and things that might be happening. And, you know, as all of you know, that I will always get back to you if you have the opportunity to send me a note. Go to drtomrozell.com or rozellcare.com, and we'll get back to you immediately. We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to the most important show that has to do with your health. Dr. Tom Rozell will be right back. See you in a couple of seconds. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed, I am bringing you some very interesting and fascinating information that you can help yourself with. This is our way of giving you the tools, the capacity to be able to defend, upregulate, protect you, your family, and, you know, those of us that, you know, want to stay as healthy as we possibly can. That's why we do the program. That's why we talk about all kinds of different things. Before we get into more pieces, let's go to the phones. Al, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Yes, doctor. Thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate your fact-based discussions on the pandemic. I've lost so much confidence in the medical, so-called medical authorities in this country. I wish you would talk about boosters, and particularly the medical necessity for boosters. Is the problem that the original vaccines are waning in efficacy? And if you get a booster, isn't the booster based on the same formulation as the original vaccine, which may or may not be effective against the current variant?
Well, you're actually right on course with what you're asking. So let me touch it, because it's actually a subject we could spend the entire program on. So when you get a vaccine, if you can match the virus, and it's called the viron, that's the term that's used. If you can match that exactly, you can actually simulate an immune reaction to that very specific situation. But, you know, talking about, we'll talk about the original vaccines, the Pfizer vaccines and the Moderna and so forth. That was based on that SARS-CoV-19 that came out when everything got shut down. Now, if you gave that, it's like giving the flu vaccine for a bug, a virus that came out, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's not going to have the impact. So getting to the booster itself, it's the same type of thing. By the time they produce it and they distribute it, it's not going to have the identity, because this virus, like so many other viruses, mutates so fast. Right now, you're into variants of this Omicron. You're into other variants. It depends on the sites that you read. They're suggesting that there could be as many as 130 to 150 different variants of this virus. It mutates to protect itself, so it keeps on, trying to adapt to its environmental longevity. It doesn't want to die. It wants to hang out. It wants to be there. And so it becomes something like the annual flu over a period of time. When you get a flu vaccine, for example, you know, in October, November, they've manufactured based on the identity of the vaccine of that spring or the year before, or was taking place in China or Asia and so forth. It's not what's taking place now. So the body has to, you know, defend itself. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you've had any virus, no matter what it is, if it's along the same familial lines, so to speak, and you're exposed to that virus again, or the similar version or the adaptation of that, you already have an immune response to it, and you're not going to get as sick, if you will. That's why when this COVID bug came out, nobody had any immune response to it. And our normal immunological responses were dampened because of our lifestyles and things like that, and comorbidities, the amount of biological drugs that people were on. And these are the people that really succumbed to this nonsense. But had we done other things, in my opinion, we could have modified and mitigated so much of what took place. So the answer is simply this. When you get a booster, it's not going to be as effective as they would like it to be, simply because of the fact that it's after the fact. It's down the line. They can't produce it fast enough. And this crazy virus is mutating so fast and becoming so different and becoming less virulent, by the way. This Omicron, I have several friends who are ER docs, and they said, yeah, the ERs are going crazy. You know, people are coming in for you know, the sniffles. And at the end of the day, these things are not problematic. We're sending people home. We're saying, you know, go home, stay home 2, 3, 4 days. You know, 5 days, you're good to go. Now, are there people that have weakened immune systems at anything, what even the common cold is going to bug them? Absolutely. You know, there are people who die from the common cold, you know, year in and year out. But does that mean that we need to, you know, vaccinate everybody against the common cold? Who knows? You know, they're going to probably come up with something like that as well. But if you support your immune system, this adaptation, meaning this reproduction of multiple variants over a period of time, and we're going to have more, and we're going to have more, and we're going to have more. My brain says, are we going to run out and get a booster shot for every variant? That's going to be hundreds of them. And is that what we're supposed to be doing? Is that where we're headed? And the problem is, you have to remember that every time you have a vaccine, every time that you have a booster, you're tying up a portion of your immunological system, and it's not going to work the way it's supposed to. Again, that's a program that we can have. There's a doctor by the name of Peter Attia. He's a physician, a medical physician. And I listened to a podcast, him and two other doctors that are, one's out of Johns Hopkins, and they're all in the trenches and immunological support, in understanding at a level that most people don't. And they were talking about exactly what we're talking about right now, and how the body's immune system becomes very protective. Now, you know, you can do an antigen test, which is going to show you the presence of the virus. You can do an antibody test, which is going to determine whether or not you have an immune support. Now, here's the thing, and you know, which you've heard on the radio, television, and every media, that the antibody tests really don't show anything because the antibody disappears within 3 to 6 months. Well, there's some truth to that, but there's also a fallacy to it. The truth is that your primary immunological response, which is your IgA and IgM antibody, does disappear within, you know, we'll even get 6 months. We'll stretch it out that way. We'll get it 9 months. And you have some immune protection that way. But the only way that you really can tell whether you have long-term immunity is to have beta cells and T cells looked at. And that's a blood test that you have to get your doctor to order. And that's why, you know, people who've had the measles naturally when they were young. My daughter was exposed to the measles when she was a baby. And I think we remember she had like two dots on her. And when she went to college, the school required that she either show proof that she had immune system response to it, or she had to have the vaccine. So obviously we did the blood test, and there it was. She was nice and strong and protected and the like. But you have to do the right test. And if you do the right test, you can find out information that you normally wouldn't find out otherwise. So it's really an understanding and trying to stay away from hysteria and find out, okay, what it is, what do I have to do to protect myself? How do I bring up my immune response? How do I protect myself from all these variants? Should I go get every shot that they're putting out there? I believe in choice. I believe in informed choice. Make sure you learn as much as you possibly can from multiple venues. Listen to people like Peter Attia and other folks that are out there. And I think at that point, you know, if you have the capacity, which you seem to have, you know, an intellectual level that you can have significant discretion in being able to make decisions, that's where you start. That's where you go. It's important that we get both sides of the story. It's important that we make decisions based on the right data that's not there, not what I tell you, not what somebody else tells you that's a talking head, not somebody goes up and, you know, simply says you know, do it because you have an obligation to everybody else. Well, yes, we have obligations to each other, but we also have the ability to make decisions based on what's right for us, our children, our families, and so forth. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back after some very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I am, as always, bringing you the current, the most updated information in your health and the things that you can do to make a difference for you, your family. You know, that's the important part, right? You need to really have the tools. You have to have the ability to understand what's being told to you. I've always told doctors as well as students in the differing healthcare professions, when you are told something that is a declarative statement by somebody, ask the question, is it valid? And how you determine validity is simply by this. Why was the study published? Was it an opinion? Then what was the opinion based on? And what precipitated, perpetuated, caused that opinion to be put out publicly? Meaning, was there an agenda behind it, and who wins because of that agenda? And that has to be virtually with anything and everything. There's often an agenda. There's something behind the scenes that, you know, somebody wants you to know about. You know, the other day I was reading an article in one of the nutritional journals, and this guy went on and on about, you know, the efficacies of making sure that you take so much folic acid with B12, which is true, because without folic acid in the body, that you can't absorb B12. The problem, and what he didn't talk about, and this is in a decent journal, is that folic acid has to be converted into folate in the liver for it to be effective. And the problem is that the not the majority, but pretty close to half of the population has what's called an MTHFR failure. That means that you don't have the ability to take that folic acid and convert it into folate to make it effective. So subsequently, your B12 is not going to be utilized properly and so forth. But what was the agenda behind it? Well, he had somebody that was supporting his presentation, and obviously he was going to make a few bucks based on their formulation of so much folic acid. And, you know, they said, well, it breaks down in the body. Well, yes and no, again, and the whole truth wasn't being put out there. So you have to be very careful. You have to really understand, you know, what they're trying to do, who's behind the scenes, what the situation is. And if you don't do that, it's going to be troublesome. By the way, we're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. I'd love to talk to you. You have any questions on any subject that's out there that may be, you know, curious to you, something that you want to have a little bit more data on, this is your opportunity. Let's talk about it. You know, I'll tell you, listen, I know, and this is where I know it from. And by the way, do your research and go check it out. And, you know, or guess what? I don't know, but I will find out. I will, you know, get all the data. And, you know, as I said, you can always reach me by going to drtomrozelle.com or go to rozellecare.com. And that's simply rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com, and I get back to you. Those of you who have reached out to me know that I respond quite rapidly, and meaning give me 3 to 4 to 5 days, and we'll get back. And if you want to have one of the doctors at the Rozelle Center talk to you, if you have a question on acupuncture, if you have a question on nutrition, if you have a question on something that you want to know, should I reach out and make an appointment to come in to get an examination? Real simple. Just call the office. Go online to rozellecare.com and tell them, listen, you know, I have this issue I'd like to discuss with someone. Could you have someone give me a call? And I promise you it'll happen. Or simply, again, go to drtomrozelle.com and, you know, I'll go back and forth with you on a regular basis. Your health is in your hands. Health is a do-it-yourself program. Those of you, you know, read my book that I published about 6 years ago, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program. Know that I wrote that book for you. I wrote that book to make sure that you have the tools, if you will, the understanding of how the body works in an intimate, integrated platform. So those of you who don't have the book, by the way, it's still available. You can go online. You go to agelesshealthbook.com, or you can just call the office at rozellecare.com and ask them to send it to you. I think it's also still available on drtomrozelle.com. Amazon has it and so forth. So it's still out there. And you can get that data. You can get that information as best you possibly can. So we're in a time of understanding. We're in a time of being manipulated. We're in a time of being given different truths from different platforms. And it's important that you get as much data as you possibly can and make sure that you have the right truth, if you will, the ability to understand information at the highest level possible. And you can only do that by asking hard questions. And, you know, just say, does this make sense to me? Where does this talking head get their information? Why should I believe them? Does it sound redundant? And if you start getting, you know, feedback in your own head that this may not be true, don't be motivated by emotionality and somebody who plays off of, you know, well, you have to do this because you, it's your obligation to protect others. Well, it's our obligation to make sure our immune systems are strong. It's our obligation to make sure that we do protect ourselves as best as we possibly can. And that's not going into hysteria. That means that we have to make sure we're eating properly, that we're exercising the way we're supposed to. We're watching how our mind works relative to the if you will, the filtering of information that's out there. I've gotten to the point now I rarely watch any of the talking heads except for some financial news and so forth. And I try to get into very specific websites that deal with healthcare. But the websites I get into are ones that are well presented. They're well documented. And because trust me, even though that I give you my opinion, I'm very skeptical when I hear so many things that people are saying, this is absolutely true. Well, there are very few absolutes that I've learned over 45 years of practice that the individual, you, the person, the patient, has a unique biological system and one that has genetic background, meaning that you have pass-throughs from your father, your mother, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and so forth. You have epigenetic influences. What that means is that your environment, the things that you eat, the things you're exposed to, the emotional stress and strains of the day are going to impact the expression of your genes. I'll give you an example. Just because Aunt Mary and your mother and grandma all had a breast cancer doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to have that breast cancer expressed, even though that on testing you may have what's called a positive BRCA marker. Now, how do you know that's not going to happen? Well, if you do what Aunt Mary and grandma and everybody has done, the chances are that you will have the same problems. But if you change the epigenetic impact, meaning your environmental impact on your cellular expression, your DNA expression, the chances are that you won't not express that same problem called cancer. And as a matter of fact, we used to think that, you know, you could dumb down the expression, but what we do know at this point that you can actually change the gene relative to its presence on diagnostics. That's called epigenetics, and it's an area of study that is so impactful that we see people heal from all kinds of disease processes. We see lives that are turned around and based on exposures, and those exposures, those epigenetic, those environmental impacts are biochemistry. So it starts with what you put in your body, what you're exposed to, what the influences are in your environment. It has to do with the neurological balance of the system. Is your body working the way it's meant to? Is the nervous system communicating from the brain to the spinal cord to the peripheral nerves to, you know, your internal mechanisms? Is the chemistry of your body supportive? Are you being exposed to the right things? And, you know, there was a guy by the name of Henry Ford. Makes a little bit of a say, oh yeah, I recognize that name. Well, Henry Ford came out with a statement years ago and he said, if you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you're right. And what that simply means is that if you have a focus and attitude of your body's ability to heal, cancers disappear, different immune systems begin to be upregulated. And the reason I'm bringing this up is this. If you listen to the talking heads relative to the negativity, the negative responses, it can put you in a very bad place. It can put you in a place where your immune system gets beat up. Your immune system gets, you know, truly hammered in a way that it's not okay. Think about that for a second. Could it be that easy? Could you be in control of anything that takes place? Possibly. Very possibly. It's important that you understand that it starts with you. Let's go to the phones. Paul, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, Dr. Tom Rozelle.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to know, what is the best multiple vitamin that we can take, you know, every day? What is the best one?
Paul, you're, first of all, I would have to do two things. One, I would have to recognize a company or companies out there, and I can't do that on the air. But let me give you some guidelines, which are probably more important. What you want to have is a natural vitamin. You want to have something that is not synthetic. It's not derived. You know, from a petroleum product or something of that sort, and you want to embrace something that less is better. You want it from natural foods. You want it for something that has not been added to, adulterated, modified in any way, that it's organic. Those are the guidelines. And here's the other piece, is that there's no two people that are the same. They make vitamins for men and they make vitamins for women. We probably have 10 different multiple vitamins in our office that we test through neuromuscle function response testing to see which one fits our patients. So that's where you start. You start with, make sure it's a natural vitamin, that it's low level, it's not over the top, so it's not causing an imbalance in other nutrients in the system, that it has trace amounts of minerals. It's like eating really good food. You know, when people ask our nutrition department, they ask Sue, what types of foods, how many foods should I eat? She'll tell them, said, generally organic foods, and eat at least 50 different types of foods a week. And, when you look at a salad, you could have 15 different things just within that salad if you're putting a salad together properly. So what you want to do in this situation, again, without my mentioning different companies, is you want to look for a product that is organic, that is natural, that it is not over the top, meaning that it doesn't have huge amounts of B complex or A or, all these things. You want a basis that you're trying to form. And there's many of those out there. For our patients, we have them. Now, there are times when we'll give a patient a much stronger nutrient, and that's usually for a short period of time. And it's because their stress levels are over the top, and so they're going to need far more B complex and things of that sort. But at the end of the day, you have to be very careful. So the guideline is simply this: organic, less is more. And you want to pay attention to how it affects your body. You want to make sure that you feel better, stronger, that you seem to have much more resistance. I take a ton of different nutrients. Trust me, I take C and I take NAC and I take vitamin D and I take zinc and I take quercetin and I take a lot of things individually, lots of magnesium, because I'm constantly on the go and my body's, trying to maintain a solid basis. But that's me, and I know my system. As any other patient in our practice, it has to be very specific for what I do on a regular basis. So I hope that helps a little bit. Our nutrition department can help you a little bit more. Let's go to the phones. Roz, are you sitting there? How can I help you, my dear?
Dr. Rozelle, I just wanted to let you know, I had bought some oleander on your recommendation.
Okay.
And a couple of weeks ago, I started getting the sniffles, and then I got a sore throat, and my husband started getting sick. So we both took the oleander for like 2 days, and we were fine.
Great. And excellent. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, I'm so pleased, and I'm so thankful that I knew about it, because, I don't know whether it was a cold or Omicron, but either way, I didn't get sick, really.
Oh, congratulations. That's great. Yeah, the oleander is, I've been involved with this company as part of the research team since this COVID nonsense started. I was first introduced to the company, which is Phoenix Biotechnological Research. They're an excellent group of people. This is a product that's been around for 20 years, and it's been used for anything that is called an enveloped virus. That means it has a protective coat around it. And what it does is it breaks down the envelope so the body's immunological system can go after it, particularly if you're taking zinc and D and so forth. It stops the ability of the virus to replicate. So the product that's out there right now is called Oleander 4X. You can get it, a direct link to the company off of my website, drtomrozelle.com. Scroll down to the bottom, you'll find it there. Good people. The research is amazing, and the original formula, which they're still struggling to get the government to approve, like many others, is called Ceradivir, has saved hundreds and hundreds of lives of people who had gotten the original SARS-CoV virus, and it pulled them out of it. And it's amazing how this product works, but it works for any viral pattern, even things like Epstein-Barr virus and the common cold and so forth. So I'm delighted. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. It encourages me to continue, working with the company and doing the research. I actually did a project with them and did a presentation to 200 doctors down in Florida about, it's been about 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago now. And these guys are very critical and skeptical people, but I presented for about an hour and a half and walked them through what really takes place in the cellular membrane with this thing. It's a great project. Anyway, thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. We're coming up to a break. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Don't go away. We'll be right back after some very important messages.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, as you do every Sunday. But guess what? Next Sunday, we're going to be here at 12 o'clock high noon. So spread the word, tell everybody about it, and hopefully that will serve those of you who haven't had the opportunity to listen to us live, that you have to go to the podcast and so forth. We enjoy talking to you. We're always here at 888-630-9625, or simply go to drtomrozelle.com. Send me a note and we'll get back to you. And if you need to talk to anybody directly at one of the doctors of the Rozelle Center, simply call the office. You can call it 703-698-7117 or rozellecare.com. And by the way, all of our programs can be found online. We have them all. There's hundreds of them that go back, and they're dated and they're titled, and you'll know what you're getting to. Plus, some of our podcasts are there where you actually get to watch me and see me and, see what this old gray hair looks like. But seriously, anything that we can do for you on any level whatsoever, we're happy to do that. And, I don't want to be remiss in always thanking our men and women in service. You guys reach out to me and I try to get back to you. I make you a priority. I try to get back to you very, very quickly and try to direct you, to those that can make a difference in your own. But, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't have what we have. And I want you to know we appreciate that. And we love you so very much, for everything that you've done, to give us everything that we have. Ernie, how can I help you, sir? What's going on?
Yes, I've got two questions. First, a brief history. I'm 69. I've had two heart attacks. My first one, I was 46. I'm very fortunate. I've had zero damage. I've got 5 stents. I'm really concerned about the vaccines. I'm concerned in that they might do something to my immune system to cause them to start affecting my stents, or I'm concerned about blood clots. A blood clot in my heart, I feel like I'm a dead man.
Okay.
And so, everybody's, and I had COVID back in August. I got pretty bad off. I lost 20 pounds in 4 days. I spent 11 days in Alexandria Hospital. It took me quite a while to get over it, but I'm very well now. Am I being foolish not wanting to get vaccines?
All right. So let me, we only have a few minutes, and I want to answer this as best I can, but send me a note and I can continue this conversation with you. Given your history, you want to make sure that you do not spark any kind of inflammatory reaction that will give you a pericarditis or a myocarditis. And that's the danger that you have. And the fact that you have 5 stents in there, you're taking blood thinners and so forth, that's the normal course of treatment. Now, if I were in your situation, there's no way that I would expose myself to any form of vaccine that would potentially cause a pericarditis and myocarditis. That is a known side effect of these vaccines. And if your doctor is up on the information, I can't imagine that they would encourage you to do that. It just doesn't make any sense. The pericarditis pattern and the myocarditis pattern Now, so to distinguish the two, myo means muscle. That's the muscle of the heart. Peri is the pericardium. That's the wrapper around the heart. That's an inflammation. It's an inflammatory reaction that can cause a problem, and it actually can cause heart failure. So I would talk to a good cardiologist first before I made that decision. As far as if it was me and I was in your position, there's no way. There's no way that I would expose myself to that. There's too many ways of keeping the inflammatory levels down. Now, I can't tell you what to do because you're not my patient, but there are natural anti-inflammatories. There's things like quercetin that are out there that can make a big difference. But you want to make sure that you keep your vitamin D level very high. You want to keep your C level, your zinc level at a high enough level that it'll protect you. There are things that will help your heart, like CoQ10, and taking, with your background, you know, 200 to 300 milligrams a day is not going to be problematic. L-carnitine is another one that is excellent for heart, making sure that you have enough mineralization, but you want to keep your immune system as strong as you possibly can. Sometimes a very low level of vitamin E, but you want the succinate form of E. Again, I'm giving you general guidelines. I'm not telling you these are specific for you, but we have to make sure that you support yourself immunologically. Sugars are not your friend because of the immune suppression that they cause within the body for all of us across the board. You want to make sure that your diet is very clean, that's very supportive, that is more alkaline than it's acidic. That doesn't mean you go to a 100% alkaline diet. That means that the majority of your diet should be alkaline opposed to acidic. Again, nutrition departments such as ours can help you with that and guide you through it and tell you the specific things that you need to do. They're very good at suggesting what support pieces that you should have. So that's where I would start if I was in your particular situation. It's important that you do preventative stuff. At 69 years old and the fact that you've had the problems over a period of the years, you want to make sure that you have all the tools. And, you know, I'm at a place in my world where fortunately I don't take any medications whatsoever. And, you know, I think probably in 40 years, the most impactful med I've had in my body is, you know, something like an Advil. But I'm very careful with my activity level. I'm very careful with my exercise level. That's something that all of us need to be aware of, and all of us need to be, you know, getting as much data and as much information as we possibly can. So short answer is, if I was in your position, there's no way that would be happening. But nevertheless, it's something that you need to have a consultation with a very good cardiologist. If you'd like a recommendation, I can do that for you. We're coming up to that place where I'm going to have to tell you I'll see you next week, right? Because we're running out of time, and I could sit here and talk to all of you the rest of the day and give you as much data as I possibly can. Remember, we do this program every week, next week at 12 noon, and for one reason and one reason only. We love you all. Take care. Have a great week.